you don't know, we've been supporting missions, and when Watermark was just a dream, like we didn't even start collecting money yet. I said, when we start collecting money, the first missionaries that we're going to pick up is three missionaries, Bobby Lukanen and Phil Zarns and the France and their missions and do. So we've been friends with them for a long time. Jane and Alicia were friends, and then we became friends. What's really cool is even as a youth pastor, we sent teams, always mission trips down to El Salvador and Guatemala. Brianna, worship leader Brianna, was in our youth ministry. She went down there her senior year with us, and she loved them so much, she actually gave her next summer, her senior, her 3 months, she lived with these guys. And so it's pretty cool. But there, he's going to introduce himself and share, and it's pretty amazing. The church in El Salvador that we're part of CCI that we helped launch is under their ministry. And so if you've ever been to the missions trip to El Salvador, and you guys know, can you just raise your hand in this place if you guys know? So it's pretty awesome. So here's Jonathan in English. So here you go.
Awesome. Wait, don't leave yet. Pastor Jarvis, give me a minute. Ven aquí, por favor. Regresa. All right. So we're so excited to come here. When we found out during the summer, we got our tickets. And, you know, we've been trying to get up here for like 4 years. And you guys helped us launch CCI, the church in El Salvador. You guys created the logo. You guys helped us financially. You guys, I mean, if it wasn't for this church, like, we wouldn't have a church over there, okay? So I was talking to the locals, and I'm like, I feel like when I go, we should give them a plaque, you know? So let's make a plaque. And they're like, where are we going to make a plaque in the middle of nowhere, you know? Like, we're in a village. And so I said, I don't know, let's do something. So anyways, they came back a little while later, and they had made the most coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's actually out of all of the stuff from K-59, the ocean. Awesome. And look at this. It says CCI with the logo you guys created, which is a wave, and a palm tree. And CCI means Centro Cristiano Impacto. Christian Impact Center. And so this is actually sand from the beach, the black sand, all the shells. They actually have to dive into the ocean and grab the shells one by one from the rocks, okay? And they put it all on this. And here's the most amazing testimony is that when my wife saw this, she goes, that ain't gonna last. It ain't gonna make it. And this is truly a miracle that it survived with only missing two shells, okay? So it's only missing two shells, all right? And when you come to El Salvador next time, we will replace the shells. And so this is for Pastor Jarvis and Jane as a thank you and appreciation from our community and CCI. Love you.
Love you.
All right. Your lives are now in the hands of the Puerto Rican missionary for the next 15 minutes. And so thank you because you're brave enough to have me here this morning. And I am just so blessed and excited to finally be here. I've seen all the pictures. We've been praying for this church. We've been praying for Stillwater for so many years. And you know, it really is just a moment for us to be here with you guys. And so my wife and I have been serving overseas for about 14 years now, and we've been working in El Salvador and Guatemala, and it has been just an amazing, amazing, amazing experience. When we left, we didn't have any children, and now we not only have one, but two, but three, but four, but five. We have five kids, okay? We have five children. And people are like, what happened? And I'm like, I don't know. It must be the food that we're eating or something. But God has been good. He's multiplied in so many different ways. And so many people ask my wife all the time. They're like, how do you do it with five kids? And you travel and you're all over the place. And we go from here to there. And we're always like on the go. And I'll tell you the exact truth. I have no idea how my wife does it. And so I just want her to come up real quick and give a 2-minute greeting and also share how she does it with five kids. Por favor.
Good morning to everyone, and thank you so much for having us here. I just want to give a really quick shout out to my Aunt Ida and my cousin Tom, who are here. They are awesome. And Chris? Yes? That's awesome. No. Yes? Chuck? Yes. Chuck and Chris, why don't you guys stand up real quick? They're all my, this is my family here. My aunt is from White Bear, right? And they're all, anyways, they're from Minnesota. We'll just put it at that. They live pretty semi-close. But I just thank you guys so much. It's been such an honor and a blessing to have you guys here. It really blessed my heart. So thank you. And I just want to share real quick, like Jonathan was saying, it is really crazy. Sometimes we're like, whoa, what in the world? We have five kids. This is crazy. Especially when we're on a plane and like we fill up not just like a whole row, but then there's like always one person extra. And we're like, okay, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Who gets to sit by themselves? The way I do it is just a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. That's the only way you can do anything in life, right? But I just want to share real quick, when we went down to the mission field, I really felt like, you know, who am I? What can I give? Like, I didn't go and get a doctorate or I don't have my, you know, master's degree in any kind of psychology or any pastoral studies. I didn't have anything of that. I had my nursing degree, and as I kept having kids, it was kind of like, God, how are you going to use me? Like, how can I do anything? Who am I? And I felt like God said, you know what, step out of your comfort zone. And my comfort zone had become my kids. And step out of your comfort zone and see what I'll do. And so I started realizing as we give our what we feel like is nothing to God, he takes our nothing and turns it into an abundance, a blessing for others. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you feel like, you know, who am I? How can God use me? Maybe you feel too young, too old. Maybe you feel like you have, you know, what do you have to give? God wants to use you. And so just be open, be a willing vessel for God to use you this morning. And we'll just hand it over to Jonathan. I know he's got a powerful word. So thank you again for having us.
My wife is the sugar in my coffee. She's the butter on my bread. She's the cheese in my macaroni. And we're blessed to be married for so many years and have so many kids. And it's just awesome. So so many of you have been on missions trip, and I must say you look a lot cleaner on this side of the world. Yes, and so good to see your faces. You guys all look very lovely here in this place. Why don't you turn to your neighbor real quick and tell him, if it wasn't for me, tell him real quick, if it wasn't for me, you'd be the best looking person in this whole place. Come on, say it like you mean it. All right, I want to read real quick a scripture that has been like my model ever since I started in a mission field. It's been my model. It's been my go-to scripture. And a very, very wise man, actually, the Bible says he was one of the wisest men that ever walked the face of the earth, Solomon. And he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord said, what do you want? I'll bless you. And he said, I want wisdom. And so he became one of the wisest people to ever walk the face of the earth, aside from Jesus. And so Solomon was very wise. And so he says something here that's powerful. And I think we all need to adapt this into our Christian and our personal walk and whatever it is that the Lord has called us to do. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways, could you repeat after me? Say, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. See, I think that God is calling us, each and every one of us, at this time, in this season, to greater levels of trusting and greater levels of submission. To whom much is given, much is required. It says it in the word. And we are blessed. We are a blessed nation. And God is calling us to great things. Just like he did with my wife and I, you know, as we were youth pastors, the Lord said, I want you to step out into faith. And so we started our missionary journey. We didn't know what was going to happen or what we were going to do or where we were going to go. And the Lord just began to show us things. You know, I had this idea in my mind that I would be a great evangelist. That kind of was like one of my dreams, you know, and I wanted to be G.J. Avila. G.J. Avila, if you don't know who he is, he was the Puerto Rican Billy Graham, okay? He filled up all these stadiums and preached all over the world. Any other Puerto Ricans in the house? Am I solo here? Okay. All right. I'm scared. And so that was my mission. And so I felt like, you know, to be fulfilled, I had to go out and just preach to multitudes. And we did, you know, and it was impactful. It was fruitful. And God did some great things. We filled up some stadiums. We had 10,000 people in some. And we preached the gospel. We saw multitudes. And I was, wow. But it wasn't until one experience that began to change me. And the Lord just kept saying, trust in me. Submit to me. And so in one experience where I show up to a cancer hospital, a government opened up the doors for us to show up. Nobody had ever been in to preach the gospel. And somebody found out what we were doing and said, would you come and preach a word to these children at this hospital? I had no idea what I was going to step into, but it was a time that changed my life. As we entered into this hospital, I realized it was a children's cancer hospital. Okay, these kids had no hair because they've been going through treatment. And so I was sitting there going, what am I supposed to do? But the Lord just had me step out and begin to love on some kids and play with some kids. And I realized something. As I would take pictures with them, they would cover their head. You see, in El Salvador, hair is the identity for a girl. It's their identity. It's everything. And so for them to lose their hair, they've lost it all. They've lost it all. And so I'm taking pictures, and they're covering their head, and it breaks my heart. And I said, these girls need a wig. They need it. But you got to remember, I'm G.J. Avila, right? So this isn't part of my deal. But the Lord hits home and says, you need to provide a wig for this girl. And so I said, okay, well, we'll make it happen. So I told this girl, I promise you when I come back, I'm going to get you a beautiful wig. And she said, oh, okay, that'd be great. And so I went stateside, and I made phone calls, and I called all around all these organizations, and they would tell me, oh, you know, we only work stateside. We only do wigs for kids stateside, and we only do this and whatever. And so I called another place, and they're like, oh, we'll make you a wig, and we'll give you a good price, $5,000. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Wigs cost. I had no idea in my entire life. And so I said, well, that's not on a missionary budget, so I'm going to have to get creative. So as I was praying, the Lord said, you grow your hair out. And so I said, okay, I'll grow my hair out then. And I'll make a wig out of my hair. And so I did it. This is actually the third time I've grown it out. And so I grew it out. I had my kids, my own kids, I shaved it. And I gave it to my wife. She had no idea what she was going to do with that. But I believed in her. I said, you're going to make a beautiful thing out of that. And so she did. She made this beautiful creation. And I said, oh, man. I was emotional as I hopped in that plane. And I went back. And I met with the same girl. And I said, I told you I was going to bring you a wig. And I put it on her head. And the anointing showed up. It was powerful. More powerful than any platform I've ever had in my entire life. It was a beautiful thing. She looked so beautiful. She looked so amazing. I was crying. She started crying. It was her mom started crying. The nurses were emotional. The doctor, Dr. Vasquez, pulls me to the side. He says, this brought life to our hospital. And I said, that's awesome. He says, can you bring more of this? And I'm like, wow, such a simple thing with such a powerful result. And I was like, hold on, let me make a phone call. So I called my wife, and I said, sweetie, this was a hit. The Dr. Vasquez, he's one of the biggest doctors you'll ever know in international, Central America. And he called me to his office, and he was in tears. And I said, Dr. Vasquez called me to the office, and he said, we need some more of these. So, sweetie, we're going to need about 300. And so we've been working for about a year now, and I show up to places like this, and I see some beautiful hair. Nope, no hair over there, okay. So look at your neighbor and just say, you need to cut your hair. It's time. And so I show up to places like this and I cut hair. And then I kid you not, I went to a church and the pastor said, he was moved in his spirit. And he said, can you do an altar call for people that want to cut their hair? And I did it. And my wife and I were cutting hair for 2 hours. I promise, not at the altar. I'm not a hairstylist. I was just chopping, cut, 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 you know. And my wife now has made over 100 wigs for these girls with cancer in a year. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Oh, but it's given us a platform. I couldn't believe it. You know, such a simple thing. But you know what it is? It's the message. It's a powerful message of Christ giving himself. It's a symbolic thing. You know, when you give your hair, and I show up to a girl and I said, somebody sacrificed their hair. But you know what? Christ sacrificed his life for you. It's a powerful thing. It's so powerful that even the first lady, she reached out to us and said, and she said, I went to the hospital and I want to meet you guys. And we said, okay, cool, let's meet. And so we showed up. We actually didn't know it was the first lady because the secretary wrote us. The secretary wrote us and said her boss was influential and she wants to meet us. And so we show up to this place and we had no idea. We show up in our missionary attire, you know, holes and dirty and whatever. And next thing we know, we're walking into a room with reporters and cameras and newspaper and articles and people and all over the rooms full of doctors. And there's a table in the front and it has my name and the first lady's name. And I'm supposed to sit up there and give a speech to the entire nation because everybody's watching right now. And so we had no idea. I wish I could have seen it. I never saw it. Some of the village people came down and told me later. But I can only imagine the look on our faces as we walked into our room. I bet we look like a Amish person in Radio Shack because we were confused. we had no idea that such a little thing would turn into such a big thing. As I gave my speech and the Lord said, you need to preach the gospel right now. So I preached the gospel and people saw it on the news nationwide. And the first lady comes up afterwards and says, we're going to cut hair all across the nation once a year. We're going to have a Wigs of Hope cutting day. Everybody cut their hair and donate. And so once a year now in El Salvador, all across the nation, they cut their hair, and so we get boxes full now, and the Lord has been good, and we are on a mission to impact and change lives. But the Lord has called us to submit, to trust and submit. I never would have imagined. But you know what? When we trust and submit to his plan, it's not our plan. It doesn't look like the way that we think. Sometimes he breaks our ego and cracks us and molds us, and he takes us on his path. But you know what? It's the most fulfilling path you'll ever have in your entire life. You have to trust. You have to believe. You have to submit. Tell your neighbor right now, trust and submit. It's the best thing you can ever do because I'll tell you what. Solomon. He's the same guy that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay? But he was in a dark time. And at some point in his life, he fell away from the Lord, and it was the worst thing he ever did in his entire life, okay, because he talks about it. He says, man, I tried it all. I went out there, and I tried everything under the sun. I mean, he writes a whole book on what happens. He tried the money thing. He tried the fame thing. He tried the women thing. He tried the worldly thing. He tried everything. And you know what he says? He says, meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. Vanity, it's all nothing without God. It's nothing. It's completely nothing. Actually, the correct word in the Hebrew is heaven. Heaven, which actually means a mere breath. It's just a breath. And that came to reality when I came to Minnesota and I got off the plane and I went, and it was like, oh, I see my breath. And it was gone. And then and even my baby, my three-year-old, he goes, Daddy, look. Look. He's been doing that all week. Daddy, look. And you see your breath. It's amazing. And but what happens, it's like, it's, and you see it and then it's gone. And then you see it and it's gone. And that's the satisfaction of the world. You see it, it's there, it's gone. It's gone. And people turn from God, and they think it's going to be a better thing, and that's a lie and a trap of the devil. But, you know, it's heaven. It's nothing. It's a breath that you see for a second, and then it's gone, and it's worthless. It's garbage. It's nothing. And that's the path that God takes us on. It's a path of trusting and submitting to him and believing. Solomon was a wise man. I don't know why he would have departed, but you know what I do know? Is sometimes education and wisdom can get in the way of our simplicity. And that's why the Lord, he calls us to have faith like a child and believe like a child, because sometimes we got to erase all the theology and all the big things. And I'm not against it. I have a master's degree and I've been to school and I've sat with all these smart people that I'm not as smart of as. But I've been there. And what I do know is you can complicate it so much that you start going, God just wants us to bring it back. Bring it back to the simplicity and the basics. Because, you see, the greatest platform that God's given us, not just with the doctors, not just with the nurses, not just with the government, but the most important platform is a platform like I had recently when I was in the hospital. And Mari, 7-year-old little girl, the doctors had just told her that she had to go home because the medicine wouldn't help her anymore. And so she calls me. She got tears coming out her face. And what do you tell a girl that the doctor just told she's not going to live? And I took a moment and I took a breath and I said, you know, only thing I can say is God's word. Because in the midst of your hardest time, your most tragic situation, only thing you can depend on is God's word. And you bring it back to the basics. So I looked at her and I said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And she processed for a minute, and then I felt her sweet little hand rubbing my arm back and forth. And she said, you think so? And I said, I don't think so. I know. And we prayed. And I don't know how this happens. This is a mystery to me. This is completely, I don't understand. But in the middle of the most tragic situation, when you call on the Lord, he shows up. And he brings peace. And he brings love. And he never... that's the thing, his love, it never fails in that situation. In the most tragic moment, when you think there's no hope, he comes in his presence and it fills us with power and with joy. And I'll tell you what, on that moment, and that day, and just like he's done with so many other little girls that we sat with, he comes and pours out his presence. Some people say, yo, you're passionate. You're kind of over the top. You drink a lot of coffee or something. And I don't apologize because I know what God has done. I know what he's done in my life when I was almost destroyed by the devil. Okay, I was 18 years old, like some of the youth that I see out here, and I had decisions to make because I had recently just lost my dad and my brother in a tragic scuba diving accident. I mean, it was from one moment to the next. And oh, the devil grabbed me. And you know, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to kill you and destroy you. He wants to destroy your purpose before you even see it come to reality. And there I was, and I'm broken, and I'm hurting, and I'm 18 years old, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I had all these thoughts of forget it and giving up my life. And I had to make a decision one day and say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to submit. And you do what you want with this life. And if I wouldn't have made that decision at an altar just like this, you know what? I wouldn't be seeing so many blessings that I've seen today. I would have never had a beautiful opportunity to meet my wife, to be with my wife, to have 5 amazing children that love the Lord, to have a ministry where we travel to so many different places and meet people like you and children all over the world that we have an opportunity to feed and to love on and our impact center and El Salvador. Let me tell you, it's been an amazing thing, and you guys have helped us to support Pastor Danielle and Erica, and they've been with us now for 2 years, and they are the district directors of the youth for the Assemblies of God, and they came on board, and they're now living at our camp, and they're running our operations, and they are beautiful people. Beautiful people. Yeah, I hope some of you guys can meet them someday. They love the Lord with all of their heart. And you guys have helped us to support them. And they're passionate about what the Lord is doing. And the Lord has been stirring our heart. We received a statistic recently. And we found out that there's over 5,000 abortions in El Salvador a year. And we said, that's crazy. And we started researching with our team and started realizing that there's no alternative for women that are desperate. There's no alternative for them. And we started praying. I said, Lord, what do you want us to do about this? And the Lord, oh man, he stirred our heart. And we wrestled because, you know, we're like, God, I mean, I know this is kind of big, but he brought us back to trusting and submit. And this year, we're working right now with the lawyers and finalizing the paperwork to start an orphanage right at our camp in El Salvador. And we're gonna offer an alternative for the nation. We're gonna offer an alternative for abortion. And our dream and our hopes is to save some lives. We're going to save some babies. We're going to raise them up and disciple them to be men, powerful men and women of God. And we're just believing in the Lord. And so I'm knocking down, you guys, some you guys might remember the shed that we have in the back, the white shed. Yeah, you remember? Okay, so we had that white shed, and we're going to knock that down. And next year, I'm building a 2-story building. And that's where we're going to start. I told Pastor Danielle and Erica, we're going to start this thing. We're going to do it. And when I told Pastor Danielle, he actually started crying and got emotional. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, 2 things. He said, when I was a kid and I got called to ministry, the Lord said that I would be running and leading an orphanage. And the second thing is that when I was in my mother's womb, she almost aborted me. And so I'm a miracle. And I was like, wow, that's a powerful thing. I didn't know that, but he's excited. We're all excited, and we're believing that the Lord's going to do some amazing things. And I just want to close right now. And the word today that I hope has been relevant and refreshing and timely, because I'm contrasting right now a life, but in 2 different places. One, in the trust and the submission and the path of the Lord, as Solomon, when he was before the Lord, and then he departs and he falls away from the Lord, and everything's empty, 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 and there's nothing there. And so I don't know where you're at today, but I'll tell you what, God has a great and mighty purpose and plan for your life. You just have to trust and submit. That's all you have to do. You don't have to write it all out or know everything or how it's going to happen. And some of you type A personalities, you need to know every little thing, but God is saying right now to you today, it's time to trust in a greater way. It's trying to submit to the Lord in a greater way. If I can do it, I know you can do it. I don't know how we're going to do this thing. People ask me questions all the time. Well, what about these babies? How are you going to raise them? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? I don't know. I mean, I have 5 kids of my own, and I know how much they eat. Okay, I have to buy a lot of toilet paper for them. Okay, I mean, it's a lot to raise these kids. I mean, we've been in diapers for like 13 years, and now we're going to get in diapers again. okay? So trust me, it's a challenge. But God brings me back all the time and says, you trust and submit and stay away from the evil stuff. You got to read the whole chapter, okay? I don't have time right now, but stay away from the evil stuff because that stuff will kill you. That stuff will destroy you. Stay away. Trust and submit in the Lord and be in his path, in his way. We have to repent from all those things and follow and pursue holiness in the Lord. Father, I thank you for this church and this congregation. I'm believing for great things in Stillwater. I thank you for Pastor Jarvis and Jane and everything that they're accomplishing and doing. Lord, give them strength and bless them mightily. I pray the favor of the Lord would be upon this place and that doors would be open. Even the government officials would realize and recognize your light and your love in this place and it's shining and that they would give them favor. And I pray that this church would go beyond imagination, as you said, your words in Ephesians 3:20. You will do measurably more than all we can ask or imagine, and you will accomplish. And I know your purpose for this church is great, and the birthing of this church was a mighty thing, and you've come against it so many times. And right now I pray for protection and divine anointing upon the pastors as they release the word of the Lord and upon every person in this church, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and your plan and your purpose will be fulfilled. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.